look at a lesson that might make some sense at the close of a year and hopefully going forward into a new year. You know, as Paul writes to the church at Philippi, he does there's a section in the middle of the book of Philippians there where Paul tends to have a looking back but also a looking forward moment at the same time frame. This is a good time frame of our lives to do a similar thing. And I know that it's not new that we call people to do this, to look back but also look forward, to consider what was done, what might have been done, what could have been done, and then also going forward what could be potentially done differently or should be, and to pray about those things. In our Bible class this morning, I asked the question, do you have a plan for this year, this coming year, spiritually? Do you have a plan? There's this truth evident throughout Scripture, and especially as we look at the New Testament for God's people. Planning is biblical. And when I say planning is biblical, I don't mean it's just okay. Don't worry, planning is biblical. That's not what I mean. That's not how I mean it. That would be true, but I'm going a little deeper and a little, I think, more important than that consideration alone. When I say planning is biblical, I mean to not be a planner for certain things is unbiblical. God expects His people to take time to be involved in deep and in constant prayer for certain things. Planning is biblical, and planning is God's desire and expectation for His people that we wind up where He wants us to wind up because we were proactive in faith. And so I'd ask the question, not for a show of hands, but did you plan in this year? It's almost over. Did you plan in this year for spiritual growth? And what did your plan look like? Have you planned yet for 2019? Is that a resolution? And is the spiritual on that list? And somebody can say, well, how can you plan spiritually? I'm going to tell you, and I hate to say it this way, but I've got to make the point. For someone to be in the Lord's church for any real length of time, to have claimed Christ for any length of time, to claim to be not just a Bible believer, but a Bible studying person, and to wonder that would be greatly disappointing. How could you plan spiritually? Oh, surely we wouldn't ask that question. But if you need to talk about that, we can. And I hope that you will be looking back and looking forward. So, I titled the morning lesson, "We Did All This." We did all this, so can we rest now? That sounds like kids working in the yard with mom and dad. That's what that sounds like. When's this going to be done? Are we there yet? Dad, are we there yet? How much longer? Hey, we did all this. Can we rest now? Would that be okay? And then we can rest on our spiritual laurels from the previous year. What does Scripture seem to think about that? Looking back and looking forward, continuing to learn God's will and continuing to live God's will. That's the title of the morning lesson. I want you to consider the importance of the word continuing right there. Throughout Scripture, there is tense, T-E-N-S-E, just like you had English class in school and they had those tenses that you had to learn. All the words, let's do the present tense, let's do the past tense, and so on. I'm being intentionally sarcastic here when I say it might shock you to learn that other languages do the same thing, like Hebrew and Greek. Okay, they do the same thing. They have tenses. And throughout Scripture, and especially as we dive back into the New Testament and look at God's expectations for His people, the words of Jesus, but also all those letters written to all those congregations of God's people, there is regular tense that means continual action. Not one-time action, but continual action. We want to continue. All right, here's what we did this year, okay? I want to remind the congregation, and this isn't a bragging situation, but I will tell you, for visiting with us, we do work here. We do a lot of work here. We do a lot of great work here. We do work that many people know about, and we do work that nobody knows about. We do it with workers throughout the congregation that people know are involved in those works, and we do things that people don't even know how they got done or by whom they got done, quietly behind the scenes, but it got done, and the Lord knows. We do work here. And just a few things, and this wouldn't even really be the hem of the garment, but just so we can review, this year we will have spent about 208 hours in worship and Bible study time together. That just means, and I'm just meaning collective, there are countless hours, hopefully countless hours, that we could add with people with individual home on their own Bible study. Or maybe there's a group that they gather with to do that. But just as we came together, this year we'll have about 208 hours of worship and Bible study time together. We will have given of our means well over $400,000 to the work of the church. We supported children in Cookeville at the Happy Haven Children's Home and the way that they're supported and taken care of there. We support the largest Christian radio outreach in the world through World Christian Broadcasting. It's not even close. 94% of the Earth's population covered 7 languages, 20 hours a day. We ease the burdens of disasters around the country through our support of Disaster Relief Incorporated. And the stories are heartwarming that come from situations, from horrible disasters, where congregations through those disasters were ultimately established and people were ultimately engaged in Bible studies that had not known of Christ before or had not pursued that at all, and were eventually baptized into Christ and are now part of local congregations through that work. And we supported that. We did more than that this year. We helped to develop communities and congregations in Africa through our work with Partners for Africa and Dorian Flynn, that comes here every year to explain that work and update us on the work. And our kids always love that. There was a lot of financial support given right here within the congregation. And you don't need to know to whom, and it doesn't matter. But that's what you did. We fed many from the community, from our pantry. Throughout the year, people sat in hospitals and funeral homes and held hands and cried and hugged and prayed because people in this congregation or connected to it were in a time of great sorrow or of fear. That's what we did. And people here prayed and prayed and prayed yet again for you. Maybe you personally. That's just a little of what has taken place in 2018. Wow, that's a lot of stuff there. Look at that. And that doesn't touch the hem of the garment? Nope. As a good advertisement on TV says, but wait, there's more. We packed boxes to show appreciation for our military families, and those were delivered. With Jason Johnson's leadership, those were delivered to Fort Campbell. A lot of people worked on that, and you gave of your own for that. We gave to the needy through a local school opportunity down at Gladeville. We influenced our youth toward good things like we're doing even this weekend. We welcomed new people, and we had to say goodbye for now. See you soon through the death of some of our own. And through all of that, to God be the glory. That's what we did in 2018. And we've got almost 2 days left to do and 2 days of opportunity. That's a pretty good record. Won't that hold up for a while? Won't that hold me for a while? Like a good meal? No. Nor should it. Nor should I want it to. All of that record, the glory should go to God and not to me to be able to use to rest. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, for their deeds follow with them." What about that verse? One key item: you and I are not dead. Don't miss that. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. You and I are not dead. These verses don't sound like resting on our laurels from a previous year. Not just looking back and feeling good and breathing a sigh of relief as if something is over. These verses don't seem to suggest that, and they're just a few. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. How many are by themselves righteous? That passage says none. Based on our own goodness, all the things we've done, it did not establish righteousness in and of itself. Nor could we ever stand as righteous by our own goodness. That's what Scripture teaches. There are none that are righteous, no, not one. Next time you sing that song, which is not about that, but it does say, no, not one, no, not one, remember that. It'll help you appreciate more in the song than one the song's about. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you would present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." Later translations will render that phrase, reasonable service, this way: which is your spiritual act of worship. That's our worship. And God is not suddenly no longer do our worship because we had quite a 2018. Because we did all of that in 2018, God is no longer worthy of our worship? Well, of course we wouldn't say that. And this is your spiritual act of worship, he says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, that you present yourselves as a living sacrifice. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, Paul would remind us and remind the church at Philippi that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For me to live equals Christ. It's Christ all the time, not Christ until I attain this many good works and then I rest. Christ all the time. Hebrews chapter 10, 23 through 25 get coupled together often, and we'll do that later, but highlighting just verse 24 right now in that section, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. That's ongoing. That's ongoing. And so these passages of Scripture don't seem to suggest that we rest on our laurels as we look back and as we consider what's ahead. These passages and others don't suggest we rest because that ought to hold us for a while. In fact, let me go backwards because I don't want you reading that yet. So, go to the local mall. Maybe you go down here to Providence. You go to one of the other malls around the Middle Tennessee area. And at Christmas time, one particular store that you're always, or this type of store, you're always going to find crowded. These two, to me, I've noticed, these two always stacked with people. Any kind of bed, bath and body, any kind of bath and body store is always crowded. And if you think it's crowded before Christmas, you should see it the day after, when every lady in town is using her gift card or waiting for the after Christmas sale. That one's crowded. And the candle stores are crowded. There's a candle place up here at Providence. I don't remember which one it is, but there's a lot of them in a lot of malls around the area. And it smells great in there, and people, I don't know how many are actually buying. Maybe they just go into, it's, you know, their version of a drug problem or something, but they, you know, just go down the line and sniff a while. And there's some really, really fine smelling stuff in there. I admit it, I like it. What does a Christian candle smell like? What aroma would that take on? You say, I don't even know how to answer it because that doesn't make a whole lot of sense asking that question. Well, I think it does, and just hang on. Because here are some passages of Scripture about lighting a Christian candle, not a gingerbread or a vanilla or a sun and sand or whatever, Christmas tree candle, but a Christian candle. Ephesians 5 verse 2, Philippians 4 18, there's just a couple examples, as Matthew 5 16 does as well, talks about a sweet aroma to Christ. Those passages talk about what we do here, how we walk here, being a pleasant aroma to God. And again, these aren't the only two passages of Scripture where you can find that language. And now I'm reminded of the words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, just a quick little off-ramp. Let me exit and we'll get right back on to take a second to mention something that we discussed on a Sunday night recently in a lesson, that those that try to utilize Scripture to suggest that no one's ever supposed to know that anybody's doing anything good. The Bible says nobody's supposed to know that you're doing this. No, the Bible does not say that. It does not say that anywhere. It doesn't even remotely suggest that. When you go back to that passage that you think you're using to prove that point, read it all, read the context, and look for some key words that clearly teach this, that we don't do those things for the express purpose of receiving glory from man. For ourselves from man. That the motive is not to be impressive to somebody with your personal spiritual strength. The motive is not to impress someone and receive personal glory. That's not the motive. But look at what Jesus did say in Matthew 5. Let your light so shine before men that they will see. And here's the crucial part. And in seeing, they'll glorify the Father. It'll bring glory to God when they see that. That can't happen if they don't see that. It'll bring glory to God. That's what Jesus said. Light your Christian candle, and we'll talk more about that in just a second, that produces a sweet-smelling fragrance, an aroma to God that not just pleases Him, but brings Him glory, honors Him, and points other people to Him and to His body. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 14 and 15. But thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and manifests through us the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Him in every place. For we are a fragrance of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. We are to be fragrant. Lighting our candle. So if resting on laurels isn't Christian, and I'll remind the congregation, we don't have any laurels to rest upon. Those three slides. We had three slides full of things we've done this year from this place, and we didn't even try to put everything on there. And still had three full slides. Those aren't laurels on which we can rest, because there are none that are righteous, no, not one. So if resting on laurels isn't Christian, how can I send a smoke signal to God next year? In the coming year, fragrant aroma, something that would be pleasing to Him, something that would honor Him and bring glory to Him. How do I send that smoke signal from that spiritual candle to God? Here's what you can do in 2019. In 2019, you can be more noble. What in the world? Acts 17, verse 11. The Berean Christians were called more noble because they searched the Scriptures daily, searching for the will of God. Let me make this perfectly clear. There are people that are more noble than others, spiritually speaking. There are people that are holier than others. Don't get blown away by somebody who's just trying to get rid of you or rid of some idea and gets frightened that somebody's going to say holier than thou. Folks, Scripture teaches that some people are holier than others. Not because they were born that way. Not because they're always perfect and don't make mistakes and have not sinned against God. But Scripture teaches that pretty is as pretty does, and there are people that are walking in holiness, and there are people that are not. Stop being intimidated by that. I can be more noble. They studied the Scripture daily. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I know some hands that would go up. I know of some hands, I could name you people throughout the congregation whose hands would go up if we asked the question, raise your hand if you studied your Bible every day this year. I could name you people throughout the congregation. I could name you several, and that's just the ones I know of, which has nothing to do probably with the total number. But you can be more noble. 2 Timothy 2:15, 2 Timothy 3:16, talk about the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved, a workman who would not need to be ashamed, who can rightly divide the Word of truth. That's 2:15. 3:16 says all Scripture is inspired of God and is profitable for. And he gives that list of things Scripture is profitable for. I can be more noble. And so we sang this song, and Eddie did not know we were going to talk about this. But we sing occasionally, give me the Bible. Did you know it's possible to sing a lie? It's possible to lie through an entire song, but sing to the top of your lungs. Don't sing a lie. We can be more noble. In this way, in 2019, I can be counted on. That's a second thing. I can be counted on in 2019. I can be seen as reliable to this work. First in presence, and then in other ways. I'm reminded of the song, and we sing sometimes, I want to be a worker for the Lord. Again, don't sing a lie. Lying is not more beautiful because it's in song. Lying is still lying, even if it's in song. And even if it's while I'm wearing a tie and seated on the second row. I wasn't pointing out Bubba Graves or anything like that. He's not wearing a tie anyway, so. All of us, or a lot of us anyway, maybe most of us, remember the song, Lean on Me. Lean on me when you're not strong. I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. For it won't be long until I'm going to need somebody to lean on. You know that song? Yeah. Job had friends, and they all deserted him. You can depend on God. The question is not, can you depend on God? The question is, can He depend on you? When and where His work is being done, when and where people are needed to help do that work. We can depend on God. Can He depend on you? Mark 14, verse 50, all the disciples deserted Jesus. Just before going to his trial and crucifixion, there was that time, Scripture says, all the disciples deserted him. You remember there were disciples like the one who said, Lord, if everybody else leaves you, not me, I'll be your friend. I'll help you carry on. Yeah, him too. He was nowhere to be found, except out denying that he knew him. Paul would write about the same thing in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, when everyone had deserted him in his ministry. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Upon this rock I will build my church. It's his. If someone did not support your most beloved family member in that which was most important to them, and then told you how much they loved that beloved family member, you would not agree. But somehow, that's okay with that which the Lord loves the most. No, never. We can be more noble in 2019, search the Scriptures daily, and we could be counted on when I desert what He built, I desert Him. When I desert what the Lord came to establish and died for, I desert the Lord. When I desert its work, I desert Him. When I desert its presence, I desert Him. Scripture screams that idea. The apostles wrote about it over and over to every congregation. I cannot love the Lord and not love His kingdom, which is His church. I can be more noble and I can be counted on. I can forgive. There'll be people in 2019 that will be challenged to forgive somebody. There'll be people that will be challenged to forgive, and it'll be hard. But listen, I could tell you people that in 2018 had to forgive, and it was hard. And I could tell you people in this room that did that. They did it. They didn't somehow think that the Lord meant forgive unless it's hard. Forgive if it's deserved. They did it anyway. And there will be people that will forgive in 2019 when it was hard. I want you to consider the word forgive, and as the fact F-O-R, just like F-O-R-E, would be in front of it. Forefront, something's in the forefront, something's in the foreground, something's before. That's the idea of it comes on the front end. There's a plan for it. I'm just already planning for it. I'm going to make this decision rather than consider all the situation and then decide whether to forgive. There's a reason the word is ordered as it is. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then this section of Scripture from Jesus. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you of yours. That's a promise from the Son of God. I can be more noble in 2019. I can search the Scriptures daily. I can be counted on in 2019. I can forgive in 2019. I can remember others in 2019. Last week we talked about God being a giver. I'm never more like God than when I'm giving. I'm never less like God than when I'm not. James chapter 1, verse 27, pure and undefiled religion. Some translations will say religion that our Lord accepts as such. Pure and undefiled. Pure and undefiled religion before God the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unspotted or unstained from the world. And the word visit in the Greek language right there is not just this right here. That's a good time to put James 1:27 in when people are beginning to nod off. You do this. The word visit does not have, that's not the definition of the word visit in the original language right there. The original language, we translate and we put the word visit right there. It was a word that just meant to tend to the needs of the individual. Now that may be, that's what they need. They need a visit. but they may need something else, to tend to the needs of the individual. That's pure and undefiled religion that God accepts. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28, everybody is one. There ought to be more cross-pollination between older and younger people in any congregation. There ought to be more cross-pollination. There ought to be. It ought to be planned. It ought to be regular. It ought to be ministerial. Acts 2, verses 42 through 47. The early church was very attractive. It was in a great growth mode. And why was it? Well, just read that section of verses and you'll see why it was attractive. Because they had all things in common. Nobody thought that was all his own. They were tending the needs of one another constantly. And the Lord added daily to their number those that were being saved. Titus chapter 2, verse 1 through 10 is a section which again says, all one in Christ, an involvement with varied ages. We can tend to the needs. I can remember others. I can bring more in worship in 2019. I can bring more in worship. Is there any way to rightly use Jesus with the 10 lepers as an example here, than as an example here? How about in gratitude to Jesus? I'm grateful. I'm so grateful to you, Lord. I don't feel the need to worship you today, but I am so grateful to you, Lord. Isaiah chapter 6, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and lifted up. That's His position. Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 10 both have sections that teach that when we're not involved in certain things, including Hebrews 10:23 with regarding forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, that we are negatively affecting others, and I don't have that right. Romans 1:16 says, the power for my life lies in the gospel. That's why I need to be there hearing the gospel. Romans 1:16. And 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, which we highlighted earlier. I can bring more in worship. Worship is a verb. You are not spectators this morning. Here's more about my worship as an aroma. This do in remembrance of me. Actively and publicly remember in your presence, in your singing, in communion, reflection, in your giving, in listening to learn, and in teaching others. We can do better in worship in 2019. There's no greater aroma to our God. Luke chapter 15, think about the party they had for the prodigal. Luke chapter 15, especially verse 7, before the account of the prodigal son, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner that repents than all the others that had no need for repentance. Heaven knows what we do here. Scripture says the angels long and they peer. There's a word that says they stoop and peer over to see what's happening. Even the angels are watching. So, here's a prayer. Thank you, Lord, and to you be the glory for what has been accomplished by your people in your name this year. We did a lot. Thank you, Lord, for giving us opportunity while we still live to bring even more glory to you because we don't deserve it. And then here's the prayer. Lord, help me to be more noble, searching the Scripture daily. Help me to be one on whom you and your church can depend, can rely. Help me to forgive. Help me to remember others. Help me to worship like you deserve. So we're going to sing this particular song. We did a lot of stuff. Can't we just rest on our laurels? I would never want the Lord to rest on me. I cannot imagine my life if the Lord rested on me. And so there's more to do. There's more people to affect. There's more opportunity to bring glory to God. There's more opportunity to light your candle and be a sweet smelling aroma to Christ, to be His hands and feet. It's coming in 2019. I want you to plan on how to get there.